There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Warning. This episode contains scenes of graphic violence that may be too explicit for some of our more sensitive listeners. Captain Coral was back in Medellin, terrified for his life. Just a few months earlier, he had been part of the search block, the special operation that was responsible for ending the life of cartel boss Pablo Escobar. And now, Captain Coral was back in the city where many of Escobar's people were still around, eager for revenge. The evening of April 21, 1994, was a warm one. At about 9 p.m., the Coral family, still living in Ibagué, spoke with the captain on the phone, as was their daily ritual. Here's Beto Coral, his son.
Mi mamá lo llama, tiene una conversación con nosotros.
My mom called him. First he talked to all of us, then he talked to my mom for 15 minutes, then she handed me the phone. I passed it to my sister, and then finally he talked to me. I remember that conversation very well. It was at a public phone near the house. He finished talking to me and then talked to my mom again to say goodnight. He told my mom that he was going to sleep.
However, that's not what happened. Captain Coral went out with a female police colleague and another couple of friends.
Él recibe una llamada de una mujer.
He receives a call from a woman and he picks her up. They end up at a place called El Chocolo. They eat, they drink, and around 1:30 a.m., my dad tells the lady that he has to get up early tomorrow.
Captain Coral was scheduled for outpatient surgery the next day.
Y lleva a la mujer, llega a la casa de la señora, y por detrás de él...
He takes the woman home. When they arrive at her house, there's a Mazda taxi behind them. The taxi shines their high beams. It seems strange to him. Some people get out from the Mazda, and all of a sudden, there are three suspects cornering my dad at gunpoint. They get her and my dad out of the vehicle, force him into the backseat, and drive off, as if they were kidnapping him.
Imagine the scene. Two police officers, one of them with elite training, being kidnapped by three strangers in the middle of the night. Even though neither of the cops were working that night, both were carrying weapons.
Uno de los asaltantes toma el volante.
One of the assailants takes the wheel, driving off with my dad in the car. The woman was never moved from where she was, and my dad was taken in his own vehicle with the taxi following them.
Captain Coral and his companion did not have time to draw their weapons.
Solamente transcurrieron dos cuadras.
They only went two blocks. It wasn't far, if anything. It was 2 minutes that they spent with him in the back of the vehicle. Meanwhile, two assailants had him at gunpoint on either side. They did not speak at the time. Then my dad asks them what they want, and they tell him that they want money.
Assaults like this, in which armed people robbed ordinary citizens, were frequent in Medellin.
Bajan a mi papá del vehículo.
They take my father out of the vehicle. They force him to kneel. And then they shoot him in the head 3 times.
Quickly, the 3 suspects involved in the murder got back into their Mazda taxi, where 2 other guys were waiting for them. They drove away, vanishing into thin air. They left Captain Corral lying on the ground, in desperate need of medical help. But the woman who was with him didn't know how to drive, so she began asking neighbors for help.
Entonces, en ese mismo vehículo de mi papá, un vecino se montó.
Then in my father's car, a man, a neighbor, took my father to the San Jose Hospital from Medellin. And then the doctor on duty arrived and reported that my father had arrived without vital signs and officially declared my father's death.
This is Transportista. Who murdered Captain Corral? Episode 2, The Mysterious Woman. That night in 1994 changed Beto's life forever. He was only 8 years old at the time and had limited understanding as to what had happened. The details he shared with us were found in a judicial file to which he had access years later. But as Beto was growing up and learning more about that night, he became increasingly skeptical of the official version of his father's death. He was certain there was more to what the authorities claimed.
De esta historia se desprenden más o menos.
There were at least 30 lies and inconsistencies that emerged from this story. I don't know if you want me to tell you what really happened.
The origin of these lies and inconsistencies dates back to the time when Captain Corral was part of the search block, the elite unit that ended the life of Pablo Escobar. After the mission, Corral was still a policeman, but no longer with the search block. The search block had been transferred to Cali, Colombia, with a new mission, to dismantle the cartel in that city. Cali was increasingly violent, with over 860 murders in the first 5 months of 1994. At one point, the Cali cartel controlled over 80% of the global cocaine supply.
Fue algo que él me comentó.
It was something he told me. He told me that most of the people who served the search block were going to be taken out of the country to another country. They would have to take some courses if they were going to be transferred, but they were not going to stay in Medellin. They were being removed and some began to leave.
This is Luz Mary Garrido, widow of Captain Humberto Corral and Beto's mother. When I visited her in Ibagué, she made it clear to me how difficult it was to have a family with a high-ranking police officer. His work made everything complicated, even something as simple as living together.
Esperando para formar una familia.
Waiting to start a family, a proper family, not a gypsy family. Because we were like gypsies, moving from town to town, from city to city, run, run, go here, go there. But there was a promise there of not separating, of staying together. Whatever the circumstances, we'd be together.
Captain Corral was not moved out of Medellin when the search block finished their mission in that city, despite his requests to be transferred. Instead, he was given some vacation time. But this vacation was cut short, when only 4 days after he arrived in Ibagué, Captain Corral received a call from his superiors that baffled everyone.
While we were here in Ibagué, they called him and told him that he had to return to Medellin quickly.
Captain Corral had a plan, and staying in Medellin was not an option.
He told us that the plan was to get transferred out of Medellin as soon as possible. He told me that he had requested a transfer from Medellin.
His idea was to continue his work as a police officer over in Barranquilla, the city where he was born. But above all, it was the city where his mother lived, from whom he was almost inseparable.
He told me that he was replacing an officer who left on leave. How was he that replacement? That was in March. I went with the children to see him off at the airport here in Ibagué. It was the last time we saw him.
When he returned to Medellin, Captain Coral called his family frequently.
Tampoco había teléfono en las casas.
There were no telephones in the houses either. You had to go to a public phone. We always had the exact time to go, and we agreed to talk at the time.
That's when Beto had that last phone call with his father that he mentioned in the beginning.
El 21 de abril, hablamos con él.
On April 21st, we spoke to him by phone. He talked to our son, he talked to our daughter, he talked to me again. I don't know. We put countless coins in that phone. We talked a long time. He said that we were finally going to live like a real family. Because the 10 years that I spent with him since I met him were 10 years of coming and going. He said, I'm going to bed. I'm already in my pajamas. I'm going to bed.
On April 22, 1994, the murder of Captain Coral was on the news, which Beto and his family watched with horror. For the media, this was yet another example of the typical violence in Colombia, just another policeman killed in the streets of Medellin. Pablo Escobar paid thousands of dollars to mercenaries for every police officer they killed. This resulted in over 500 police officers killed, just for the money. That's why the assassination of Captain Coral did not provoke much coverage by the media. And the same thing happened with police and prosecutor's office, who didn't do a thorough investigation. Captain Coral was just one more victim in a swath of murders. Maybe it had been a robbery attempt. Maybe not. But they decided to accept that version of events. But there's something to remember. That fateful night when Captain Coral was killed, he wasn't alone. He was with a colleague from the police department, a woman. Her name, Luz Mari Arboleda Mazo.
Supuestamente, él recibió una llamada de la mujer con que iba a la policía y le dijo que...
Supposedly, he received a call from the woman, and she told him that she needed to talk to him. They didn't even get to drink alcohol. He couldn't drink that night, because the next day he had surgery scheduled.
The next day, Luz Mary Garrido, Captain Coral's partner, woke up to take Beto and his sister to school. On her way home, she saw a friend waiting for her at her doorstep. That friend was the wife of a police colonel, one of Captain Coral's superiors. The lady gave Luz Mary a hug and they went up to the apartment. As they entered, the intercom started buzzing. Luz Mary's mother and aunt had arrived at the building as well.
I told them to come up, and the colonel's wife didn't dare tell me anything. And I said, what happened? And my aunt tells me, last night they discharged Coral. Like that, they discharged him.
More after the break.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh,
yeah. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Humberto Corral's funeral was the day after his murder at the Carlos Holguín Police School in Medellín. Friends, family, and colleagues gathered together to honor and remember him. Many wondered about the whereabouts of that mysterious woman who was with him in the car when he was killed. The funeral is well remembered by family friend and lawyer Teresa Cifuentes.
And one thing that caught my attention was her presence. They told me that the lady who was there was the one who was with him all day, the one that was in the car with him that night.
Among those attending the funeral was Luz María Arboleda Mazo, the policewoman with whom Captain Corral was with the night he was murdered. Teresa saw her at the wake.
When I went to approach her, the lady left. She disappeared.
And what did you want to ask, or what were you trying to do?
In other words, I think the first thought one has when people die is to ask how. Why? What happened? That was what I wanted to ask her, but it did not happen. I did not have the chance.
After the wake in Medellin, they transferred Captain Corral's body to bury him where he had grown up, Barranquilla. Meanwhile, Teresa could not stop thinking about Captain Corral's death, and as she continued to investigate on her own, she encountered another setback in her search to find the truth.
The day of the funeral, I asked them to show me the car. The police told me no, that they had already sent it to be washed. They said that there was nothing to look at there, because there was nothing to begin with, I told them. But it's like, if there is evidence, why are you going to clean the car? How can you have already washed a car?
And that was not the only question left unanswered. Teresa Cifuentes, Luz Mary, the widow, and eventually Beto, all wondered the same thing. How had it been so easy for criminals to rob two policemen? Even if they weren't working, they were armed. Something wasn't adding up. And it wasn't just the Corral family wondering if there was something else to the story. The media also began to present their own version of events, many of which contradicted the official version presented by the police.
Then the media came out to say Captain Humberto Corral was assassinated by members of the Medellin cartel. Later, in another interview, General Félix Gallardo said, "No, Beto, Humberto Corral was killed. It really was amazing."
Jorge Lesmes, the reporter for Semana magazine, who we heard from in the previous episode, investigated the murder of Humberto Corral. He wrote a story that was published shortly after his death.
And over time, you realize that Corral's death does not fit that theory that the police initially had, that he hadn't finished business with the same organizations that had remained in Medellin. Medellin was very dismantled.
That is, the Medellin cartel, which was headed by Pablo Escobar. After Escobar's death, the Medellin cartel had been weakened and, according to Jorge, seemed unlikely that they would go after Corral at this point.
prácticamente el control del narcotráfico.
Control of drug trafficking remained in the hands of the Cali and the North Valley cartels, and that the North Valley began to become a very strong and very violent organization.
And given the inconsistencies of the theories around the murder of Captain Coral, suspicions began to arise. The theory of the robbery of two armed policemen was hard to believe. If it was a robbery, why did they not take the car or the money? On the other hand, the Medellin cartel was no longer half as powerful as it had been when Escobar was in charge. What would motivate them to kill Captain Coral? Lesmes and other colleagues considered a third hypothesis.
We opened that door, that window where we said that inside the search block there were very strong issues of corruption. Later, we did a series of investigations uncovering several stories of corruption inside what had been the search block.
While Lesmes and other journalists in Colombia began to suspect corruption within the search block, other rumors started swirling around, some of which were heard by the Coral family.
The rumor in Barranquilla when they were burying my father was that he was with a woman, and the rumor was that the woman had given him up and sold him to the mafia.
But the time went by, and that rumor remained just that, a rumor. Since it had no relation to the official line of investigation, nor any apparent connection with the corruption within the search block, Beto forgot about it.
Then about a year later, my grandmother was talking to my mom and said she heard that the lady had been killed.
This new rumor came from an official source. A police colonel informed the family that Luz María Arboleda Mazo, who was with Captain Coral that night, was killed. And not only that, they had recovered Coral's gun, and that Mazda taxi, turns out it was a stolen vehicle.
Encuentran el carro.
They found the car, but did not find the assailants. What a coincidence!
As Beto grew older, he became more and more obsessed with that night in April 1994 and started to investigate all the details. It was as if the police genes had been passed down to him. He did not believe the official version, and he was not going to rest until he found the truth.
When I was 15, 16 years old, I began to wonder about the facts. They scolded me for being reckless and rash. At 18 years old, I started looking for answers anyway. They accused me of being crazy. They told me, no more, no more, let go of the obsession.
Almost 30 years after his father's death, this obsession continues to haunt Beto. More after the break.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh,
yeah. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Finally, after all the years Beto had been spent pursuing justice on behalf of his father, there was a definitive moment where everything changed. There's one specific lie by the authorities that Beto has not been able to forget, one that made his desire to investigate, to find justice, increase even more. When Beto turned 18, he had to do compulsory military service, as was the law in Colombia through 2022. While there, he met a police officer who shared something with him about Luz Mari Arboleda Mazo, the policewoman who was with his father the night he was murdered.
A
police officer told me that the lady was alive. They never killed her, but I didn't pay attention to it.
What the police officer told him was too far-fetched. How could the police lie about something so serious, something so important to the Coral family? After all, it had been the authorities who had informed that Luz Mari Arboleda Mazo was dead. And so, years passed, with Beto ruling out the possibility of Luz Mari being alive. Until one day, when he was 25, 16 years after his father's death.
I'm talking to another very, very trustworthy person. I tell him my story and he says, "What was the lady's name?" Luz Maria Arboleda. And he says, "I know the lady and the lady is alive. Look it up." So I started looking on social media by myself. There was no investigator helping me, nothing. I looked for the lady and actually found her.
Estaba en Facebook como Luz Maria Arboleda Mazo. Tenía las fotos de ella.
She was on Facebook as Luz Maria Arboleda Mazo. She had a lot of pictures of herself, many of which I managed to save. And I take the photos and go to my mom's and tell her, "Mom, look, this lady is Luz Maria Arboleda Mazo." She tells me she don't know because she never met her.
Beto, now an adult, did not sit idly by. He began to investigate.
Y por eso decidí volver al expediente, sacar sus datos.
And so I decided to go back to the file, get all her data. ID number, license plate number. First, I went to the page of the registry in Colombia. It is not difficult to determine if a person is alive or dead with their identification number through the internet. She didn't show up dead.
In front of his computer, doing the research himself, he watched this lie come crashing down. Beto couldn't believe it. No one from his family or people close to his dad knew about this. The police had told them that Luz Mari Arboleda was killed and everyone believed it. Her being alive gave him hope of finally finding answers to all those questions that had haunted him for so long.
I asked a police friend to check the police license number and they informed me that the lady was a pensioner. The only thing now was to determine where in the world was she.
Next week on Transportista, Who Killed Captain Coral, we will follow Beto's investigation and review the professional career and life of Humberto Coral.
Entonces, Coral es
So Coral is a victim of what had happened. Coral is a victim of the appearance of drug trafficking in the person of Escobar, of the internal corruption that existed within him, within the block, the search for the complaints that he had made internally to his superiors, of what had happened in the search block. And he was one of the people who was asking for an internal investigation, because although Escobar had been persecuted, not everything was worth it, that there were principles and duties being ignored by the authorities. And the answer is that they killed him. They murdered him. That is the great sadness of one of the most promising officers that the police had at that time.
Transportista, Who Murdered Captain Coral, is a production of Exile Content Studio and Detective, in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network, and is hosted by me, Álvaro Céspedes. Production by Diego Olivares Jiménez and Álvaro Céspedes, with the help of Sabine Jansen, Andrea Ceballos, and Ana Isabel Octavio. Written by Álvaro Céspedes. Edited by Carmen Graterol. Fact-checking by Desiree Yepes. Executive producers are Carmen Graterol, Rose Reed, Isaac Lee, and Diego Enrique Osorno. Sound design by Hugo Mendoza, Pachi Quiñones, and Gonzalo Messi. Original music by Sebastián León. Thanks to the voice actors who contributed in this episode. Beto Coral is Horacio Mancilla. Luz Mary Garrido is Rose Reed. Jorge Lesmes is Héctor Villagómez. Rodrigo Martínez is Gerardo Villagómez. Teresa Cifuentes is Carmen Graterol. Daniel Batista oversees audio at Exile Content Studio. Our executive producers at iHeart are Giselle Vances and Arlene Santana. Research by Meño Larios and Emma Friedland. Production supervision by Julio González. Created by Diego Enrique Osorno. For more podcasts, go to the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.